B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to the pumpkin roll for Butler's Orchard. All right. You've heard from me and B for an hour. First hour goes fast. Now it's your turn. Plus, we got to check in with the aquarium boys, what they saw, what they think. Jeff is vacillating between making sense and being nuts. So, kind of standard, honestly.
That's every day.
Yeah. Where I'd like to start, though, it is a Victory Monday, and we do need that Ric Flair. Let's go to Jupe. Jupe, what up, buddy?
Yes, sir. Let's all hit the Ric Flair. Woo! Hey, listen, man. The thrasher we gave the Panthers yesterday, I could have sworn James Thrash retired. Jesus Christ, they needed some milk. Hey, I'm going to say this after that win yesterday. This is the point where us fans have to have that confidence. No more being concerned about going against, I'm going to say, at least for trash teams. We've shown that we can put these trash teams away. That makes us a good team right now. We can string some wins together against some good, great teams. Then that will put us in that great tier. Just have that confidence, you know, count our blessings where I can. Hemedy Daniels, it sucks that we lost him, but, you know, it looked like it's not too severe. Wait to hear what happens. Hopefully it's not a lingering issue for the remainder of the year. But, man, let's keep this thing rolling, fellas. That's all I got for y'all.
All right, bro.
Thank you, Jupe. I think he's on to a lot there. I love the Ric Flair, I think we don't know what's going to happen. It's entirely possible he plays on Sunday, and This is all nothing. It's entirely possible DQ comes out this afternoon and says, yo, he's good to go. Chill. But if he misses a game or two, it's not that big of a deal. And I think we've got to keep – like, what I don't want to happen, and B, I feel like I can see this happening. Jaden misses a game or two, and people are like, oh, you got to reevaluate how he plays. You got to reevaluate how he runs. Like, no, you don't.
No. That's something I don't think we need to be addressing.
Lamar missed the back end of two seasons and then won an MVP. Do you want to reevaluate how he played? Like,
no.
You got to chill a little bit. There's a fella named Moose in Falls Church. Hello, Moose.
What up, Moose?
How do you do?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, dude. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an ultimate team effort. They played four quarters. I got to split it between the offense and the defense. And also, you got to give credit to the special teams. Got a great kicker. So I'd say 40-40 offense, defense, and then 20% special teams. Tip our hat off to Marcus Mariota. He came in like the veteran he is.
Yep.
You know, people forget. This guy was a Heisman Trophy winner. I don't think he was playing with the right teams at the time, the right system. So he's capable of doing what is asked of. At this point, he showed it. He played a great game. The defense, I think, had the best game of the year.
Had the best game of the year. And
oh yeah,
to that point,
I love the fact that those guys that played with the Panthers, they really brought their A game against their former club.
Well, to your point, also Moose, I want to let you finish. You good?
And I was just going to say, let's continue. If Jaden plays great, let's not rush it. Rib injuries can be, you know, somewhat lingering depending on how severe it was. I'm hoping it's just bruised, nothing's broken. And let's not rush him back into it against Chicago. It's not the playoffs yet. So,
yeah. Very, very good, smart call, Moose.
I think it was.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I think what he said about Mariota wasn't in the right places and he's in the right place now, and Brian Johnson was in Philly with him. He knew what he was capable of. Landfield's friend in Minnesota. They didn't win yesterday. But the dude is playing way better than he ever played in his life.
Darnold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Landfield's favorite.
That's why the Landfield's friend.
So to your point, if a quarterback finds the right
right spot, bro. If you get in the right area and they work you in the proper way and they give you the right stuff to do, you can be good. But a lot of times, they throw people in terrible situations and expect them to be great. Doesn't happen.
I think you could be totally right. I think Cliff runs some elements going back to that Oregon offense for Mariota, where he was absolutely dominant.
Mm-hmm.
I think the offense they're running, David Blau, Tavita Pritchard, Brian Johnson, Cliff, all these guys, heavy involvement, is so quarterback friendly. And when you can run the ball like Washington is, everything's quarterback friendly.
You run the ball like they run it, everything's friendly, no matter what type of offense you run it, if you can run it.
I mean, they ran for 214 yards yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And about 50 of that was one run from Jaden. But even if you want to back that out, you're still talking about buck 60.
Yeah.
The coming into this game, the Carolina defense was god-awful, okay? They were last in points allowed, second to last in yards allowed. Offensively, though, since Dalton had taken over, they moved the ball relatively well.
Yeah.
And even on that first drive, until Fowler got the pick six, they moved the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought that would be the version of events we saw, and it wasn't. I think defensively, they were really good.
So that running game was non-existent until late in the game.
But what's so crazy is it shows you the impact a big play can make. Carolina gets a kickoff, 8 plays, 61 yards. They picked up 3 first downs mm-hmm. on that drive, and they were down to the Washington 25. And they started at their own 14. If you remember, their kick returner made a terrible decision.
Mm-hmm.
Fowler gets to pick 6. The place goes bananas. Nobody's worried about it,
yeah.
right? They didn't have another drive. The next drive was a 3-and-out. The next drive after that was a 2-and-out. Emmanuel Forbes grabbed the interception.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had another 3-and-out. A little bit of a drive before halftime where they went for it on 4th down, didn't get it. Another punt, and then the end of the half. Like, the Commanders' defense for a team, I don't want to act like the Panthers are world beaters. They're awful. But Carolina this year had scored at least 20 in 3 of their last 4 games.
They didn't do it here.
No. They didn't. The defense always talks about how holding a team under 100 rush yards is their goal. They mm-hmm. accomplished that yesterday. They were plus 2 in the turnover margin. Defensively,
they did things you got to do. They ran it, they stopped the run, and they won the turnover battle. You win games like that.
Yeah. I said I called in with Doc last night, and I mean this seriously. There is a multiple businesses. There are real businesses in the United States of America with the design of telling you how complicated football is and that the only way you could possibly understand it is by subscribing to this website or paying for this premium content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a real business model for multiple businesses in this country.
I think they're lying.
They're not lying because you can look at things a million different ways, right?
Yeah.
But there is also nothing wrong with saying run the ball, stop the run, win the turnover battle, and you win the game.
Well, that's the only thing.
You could sit.
That's the only thing you need to do. Run the ball, stop the run, and win the turnover battle. You're going to win most games, I promise you.
As complicated as you want to make everything analytically, looking at passing charts, looking at your heat zones, considering where a hot receiver is and how that changes, if the safety switch, like there's a million things you can consider. Run the ball, stop the run.
You win game.
You're going to be in pretty good shape.
Damn straight.
Landini, how you feeling about yesterday's game? How you feeling about Jaden? How you feeling about the peach pie?
I didn't have any peach pie because it seemed very messy. it sucks that Jaden left that game, but it doesn't appear that the injury is too bad, so I'm not overly concerned. Going into that game yesterday, I expected an ass kicking. I expected it all week. I wasn't surprised at all about how that went down. Well, I mean, I guess the only thing that did surprise me was the fact that the team honestly looked fantastic with Mariota in there. I thought it was great all around. I mean, everything was amazing, except of course for the Jaden injury. But again, it doesn't appear like that's too terrible.
If Jaden misses 2 games, How big of a heartache is that? Like, how do you think people will respond? How do you think they should respond?
It would suck if he missed 2 games, particularly because the upcoming game is the Bears, and I'm tired of the Bears fans feeling that they need to trash Jaden just because they're upset that he's clearly better than Caleb Williams. So I would like him to go out there and kick their asses. But to be honest with you, in the grand scheme of things, if he misses a couple of games, it's not the end of the world.
Agreed. I'm almost scared to do it. Jeff's got his Skins helmet back on. Jeff, how are you feeling? I saw you. I physically saw you wearing a wife beater and a yellow ball cap. You looked like you were enjoying yourself yesterday.
I was, JP. I DJed a tailgate like right before the game. So I was hammered going into the game.
Oh, really?
I got that vibe just looking at you.
Then
I also, to your credit or to his discredit, I also saw Stallion before the game. He also was hammered. So all the boys were at the stadium getting after it.
Yeah, dude. And like I had on this sweater. It was a Redskins sweater of a tick, you know, the ticket with the championship game. I was like, I got to wear this because, you know, the thing for Daryl Green. But, dude, it was cold when I got outside, and it just heat up during the day. So that's why I was in the tank top. I had the sweater around my neck. It was a great team win yesterday. And when I mean team, it was great for even the fans. The fans were in it. They were cheering on third downs, you know. Dude, it was the overall vibe. And then, dude, I think this is probably the first game I've been to when they was having like a tribute or something, and the team actually won. So like,
I said that yesterday.
Dude, for Daryl Green to give that heartfelt speech at halftime while we're kicking their butt, and you know how usually with Washington games we either super hot in the first quarter, the first half, and we kind of burn out in the second half. This game was dominated from start to finish. I was listening to Doc and Linnell yesterday. Doc said it. They're coming out now and putting their foot on the necks of teams that we should be beating. And, and it feels good. Now, the Jaden thing. Now, when Jaden first, like, had his limp coming up, when he was limping, I'm looking at him like, oh, my gosh. And you could just feel, like, you can feel the energy in the stadium. Like, it was like a combative energy, I would say. You could feel some people where, like, you could feel everyone's morale, like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with Jaden? But they're still cheering the team on that's on the field. But you could feel it. If he missed one or two games, I don't think it's a big issue. If this is something, I would rather him miss the two games and we get him back fully healthy than rushing him back out there, you know? Because we've seen, and I'm not even going to bring up that person who so-called started this. I'm not going to bring it up. But we've seen
what a joke.
We've seen so many players get rushed back from injury early, and they don't have to, and something bad happened. Nah, let's trust our trainers. Let's trust, you know, what's going on. Let's trust the process, and let's get back to it. We're gonna come back and we're gonna beat the Bears, whether we play. Even though I want Jaden to play, because same thing with Landini. I'm tired of Bears fans.
Now he's on that syndrome, B. Calling the Bears win on Monday of the week.
Yeah. All right, optimism. All right.
I appreciate
optimism.
You.
That's a real fan.
It's something.
A fanatical fan.
Real something. I do want to say this, because you brought up the Daryl Green stuff and how good things rarely happen on days they do these tributes. I've been there for all the tributes lately. And unfortunately, almost all of the tributes have fallen flat in some way. Yeah. Whether it is just a simple mess up, a complicated mess up, a statue that is not a statue,
yeah,
a photo with porta-potties behind it. I mean, I love London. It's a friend of the program. They misspelled his freaking name on the Ring of Fame. Like, they just botched something.
Listen, man,
all the time.
People try to do big things without paying attention to the little things. It doesn't work like that. If you don't pay attention to the little things, you'll make some big-ass mistakes. And we saw a mistake after mistake after mistake. These people really, they take their time on stuff, and they make it right.
Dude, yesterday I really went right. And it went right.
The whole weekend, to be honest with you.
Totally.
I was at stuff starting Friday.
How much stuff were you doing this weekend?
Man, look, I was at right down the street at this place. I think it's Zouv. Right there by the little, what's that? The Pendry Hotel, which is right there on the wharf.
Yeah.
Right there, I was. They had stuff over in the Alexandrian. They had stuff at the Top Golf. you know, everything at the Lion Hotel the other night. Everything was first class, man. You know, it was cool. I was thoroughly impressed. I've seen enough BS to be telling you the truth.
You've seen it there. I will never forget the feeling in that, not to call it a room, but that area of the stadium when they unveiled the Sean Taylor installation. And it was like, it was just this.
Everybody, they, like you say, oh, they were speechless. They were.
Right.
Because they know if they said something, they were going to probably say the absolute worst thing they could possibly say.
And the feeling yesterday was just so different. And Daryl's such a passionate guy. And he said there was never any beef with the organization, but he wasn't a part of the organization. There's a reason he's back now. There's a reason why a guy like John Riggins, I think, will come back around. And you could feel it. It's palpable. And if I don't know that that makes them a Super Bowl winner now, right? But they have changed. They have altered the path of the organization for the better. And that's really all you can ask for. Now, when you're talking about altering the path of an organization, you got to think about Metropolitan Moving and Storage. These guys, if you got to move in the DMV area, the absolute number one place to call. They are the official and unofficial moving and storage company of 106.7 The Fan. You've heard lots of guys talk about them. They've moved. I know they moved Grant. I think they moved CK. But, dude, I grew up with these dudes. McCarty and John, like, I've known these guys since high school. It's incredible what they've built with this moving company. They can do it all. If you're selling your house and you need to store your furniture, they got storage facilities. They can come pick it up till you sell the house, then move it into the new house. Say you're going to do work on the new house, they can keep it in storage for a little while, then move it. If you're moving locally, long distance, residential, or commercial, Metropolitan Moving and Storage needs to be your number one pick. They can help you stage your home. They can pack your boxes. They can do custom crates for all that high-end stuff, chandeliers, sculptures, art. They'll even send a moving consultant to your house or office to discuss your move and provide a free on-site estimate. This is great news for people looking for a long-distance mover. They can provide a dedicated truck and crew for your long-distance move. This means no truck space sharing and a pinpoint delivery on the date and time of your choosing. You're talking the best and most efficient way to move long distance, period. Trust me, I've known these dudes, this is scary, but close to 30 years. Next time I move, I'm calling them 301-279-0090. 301-279-0090. Tell them J.P. Finley told you to call. Check them out, DCMetropolitanMoving.com. Ask for McCarty. Tell him I said so, DCMetropolitanMoving.com. Jeff got me on a goose chase trying to find old Redskins gear on Facebook Marketplace. I just messaged, shout out to this person named Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Look, guess what the shirt is, B?
Ooh.
Guess.
I don't know.
It says, I survived Brian Mitchell football camp. And it's $20. He says he's not going to ship it, but he'll meet me. He'll meet you anywhere from Arlington to Gainesville. So if you're listening.
He must live in Gainesville, work in Arlington.
Something like that.
He'll meet
you
on the way.
How can I find out who the person is? I just sent them a message. Oh, here we go. Pumpkin Holloway.
We got to get that shirt.
We got to get this shirt, dude. We should even, like, hang it up. Pumpkin, if you're listening or any of your friends are listening, your picture is from Bluey. I sent you a message. Or just call the show. You can call 800-636-1067. I will pay for the shirt. I will meet you. You know what, Landfill? You've converted me. I was a Wawa man. But the sheets a little further down, 28, might be my new spot. I can meet you at Wawa, Sheets, or Wegmans in Ashburn, Pumpkin, and I will pay you $20 cash, American currency, for the I Survived Brian Mitchell football camp, sir. Why was that the slogan from your football camp, dude?
We practice three times a day sometimes.
How old were these kids?
Who cares? Their parents paid. They're supposed to get good training.
I love it.
When football players were football players.
I love it.
When men were men.
Let's get to these phones. Rusty's in Delaware. What up, Rusty? You got a credit pie for us?
Fellas, good morning. How are you?
We're good, bud.
My credit pie goes 100% to the Washington Commanders organization. And what I mean by that is everything yesterday. I had to work yesterday morning, so I was a little later than normal getting to the stadium. However, everything from entry to exit, total first class. I mean, it's kind of what we've come to expect now. But the play on the field after losing, obviously, your most elite athlete, your most elite player, the play on the field, the way the team rallied around each other, rallied around the head coach, probably around their coordinators. I don't know what message was said at halftime, but they came out fired up like they were down 27 instead of up 27. Top to bottom, the organization just looks so good. And yet Jaden's hurt, and we'll worry about that. Back in 2012, when I turned 30 years old, I matured and decided not to become a fan of one individual guy and become a fan of the team like I was when I was younger. And I made a comment to Brian last night. Brian, you came over to sign some autographs, and I said, Brian, is it time to start believing?
Oh, I remember that.
That this team is good.
Yeah.
And I think that's the message that we really need to work on. I know JP in your pod last night, you said you weren't trying to be a Debbie Downer. I kind of feel like there's a lot of downer stuff going on, and I know that it's the story because it's our guy.
Specific he's hurt.
We got to figure out what's going on. Yeah. And like I said, I know it's the story. But I think that the other story that's brewing is that this is a complete football team, and it's time to believe in them as a team.
I agree with you.
I want to agree with you. I think I need to see another week of that from Mariota, but I do think they are – so, I mean, they're playing together on a level. They're playing complementary football. I mean, just simple stuff. Like, their special teams are elite.
Yeah.
Seibert, another ho-hum, just drilling everything day. You know?
It's been such a long time since we've had this complete game stuff. I mean, all three phases. And everybody talks about all three phases. I mean, these guys are – and it's the Panthers. They're AAA. But these guys are coming together as a whole to where if one guy goes down, the other 10 are like, we got it.
Let's just go win a game. I appreciate the call, Rusty, and thanks for checking out the pod, too. Thank you, buddy. Like, something as simple as the kicker.
People ever want to question the kicker.
But
all you do is make play.
Lanville is the chief cynic among us. When Seibert runs out there, what's your concern level? Or what's your confidence level?
My concern level is pretty low. He's missed one since they've had him, and he's kicked like 15 field goals.
Yesterday he had 16 points.
Yeah.
He was 4 for 4 field goals, 4 for 4 extra points.
He just keeps making them.
When's the last time, honestly, this stat would be remarkable, and I bet it would be low, Miller, honestly. When's the last time they had a kicker have 8 scoring opportunities, convert all of them? Or hell, earlier this year he had 7 and made them all.
Yeah, low Miller did 5 for 5 field goals in a game. That was it. I remember that.
I think.
And they had
a game where they scored 50.
We scored 45 in the game. He made everything, but it was mostly touchdowns in that game.
Let's keep the phone calls going. B is in Haymarket. What up, B?
What's happening? 100% to Brian Mitchell. Let me tell you why. My daughter's 9. I took her to her first Burgundy and Gold game yesterday. And let me tell you what Mr. Mitchell did. I always tell my daughter, you can tell somebody's character by the way they treat you when nobody's watching. And Brian Mitchell was in line getting his food. I don't know why he's getting his own food, but he was in line getting his food. And he went out of his way, and I know he did, he went out of his way to take a picture with my wife and my daughter. And he didn't have to do that. And my daughter, after that, showed me the picture and asked me, is he in the Hall of Fame? And I said, not yet, but we're going to get him there. And she said, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I told her, that means he's a Hall of Fame human being to you because you've never seen him put the uniform on or do anything. Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, dude. Making people's day, B.
Amen. Take time.
Sure. Let's go to Kai in Blacksburg. Kai, you got a credit pie, bud?
What's up, guys? How are you doing, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
Good, dude. How are you?
Doing well. I'm driving to school after a fishing trip with the buddies. So my credit pie would be 50% to the players and then 50% to the coaches, because this is a team sport. Everyone played well. Everyone did their job. Let's go. My question to you guys, this is a little off segment, but I wanted to hear your thoughts. So if the trade deadline is November 5th, that means we got the Bears and the Giants. At best, we go 7-2. At worst, we go 6-3 with a loss to the Bears. Do you guys think that we should be buyers or sellers? And I know you guys might think, why would we be sellers? But I know that it's kind of rebuilding. We are way ahead of our schedule. But if we are 7-2 by the trade deadline, I think we need to ramp up pieces that could be used in ramping up. We could use a lot of help at cornerbacks. I know Forbes had that pick yesterday, and I didn't see much of St. Juice, but I'm sure he played well. But they're inconsistent. And if we want to be a playoff-caliber team, we cannot be inconsistent at that level of the field. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on if we should be buyers, and if we are buyers, if you guys are Adam Peters at the trade deadline, what calls are you making to make our team better and ready for the playoffs?
All right. I'll tell you like question. This. Thank you, Kai.
Adam Peters is over there right now. Whatever he does, I'm going to be cool with, because I'm not going to sit up here and try to – I don't sit and know everybody that's going to be coming up. You know, Adam Peters knows that. So whatever decision he makes, I'll ride with it.
That's been your stance throughout. I don't think you can be that reactionary. If they're 7-2 versus 6-3 – I mean, hell, they could be. So he's saying the next two Bears Giants.
If they're 7-2 instead of 6-3, hell, if 7-2 right now, guess what? That's what's happening. The people you have on your team are playing great. They're getting better.
Right.
Do you want to mess up the chemistry?
It's also possible they're 5-4 and two.
Yeah.
Like, so you got to allow for all possibilities. I think, you know, I didn't always love this when I heard it from Kirk. And I think Kirk's the one that really made this a widely known kind of philosophy. No, not you like that. But Kirk would always say he was process-driven, not results-driven, right? Mm-hmm. And I think quarterbacks and, like, head coaches, the process is certainly important, but the result should be what's most important, and the result should be winning.
You work on the process to make the results what you want them to be.
Right.
You don't just work on the process just to work on the process.
And I think sometimes talking about the process is – giving yourself an out after things go wrong. You're like, well, our process was good. Like, so what? It didn't work.
If it didn't work, that's part of my thing when I come with a lot of the analytics today.
Right.
Well, tell me what they're supposed to do, and then when they try to do what you say, it still don't work, then why didn't it work? And then they disappear, and I won't talk to you again.
Well, and I think specifically here, the process versus the results, I think Peters is going to be process-driven in the first, not even full year of running this team. And I think if that process lands him, to me it's about if you can get a big swing for a player that helps you long-term,
mm-hmm.
you do it. I don't know. Cleveland's a disaster. Deshaun Watson just tore his Achilles. Like, they already sold off Amari Cooper. If they put the for sale sign up, and you can get an elite talent, Denzel Ward level talent, I'm making that call. I'm checking that out. But like, if it's J.C. Horn or Newsom, or there's other young corners, and it costs you less, but you don't know exactly what you're getting, and you only have the rookie option. Like, I am not advocating a trade for a trade's sake. But if you can get a player that changes the course of your season, where you're already playing pretty well, that, to me, has real merit. Coming up at noon, Jake DeLome joins the program.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Because right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place a $5 bet on the NBA. Listen, I'm so happy about the NBA coming back, and some teams I'm excited to be watching this season, the Lakers with LeBron and Bronny. Although I'm not a Laker fan, I want to see how the father-son duo works. Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, an upstart team like Orlando, and how about the fun title contenders like New York Knicks, Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you want to also see the Celtics repeat? If you're new to FanDuel, just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, folks. I don't like to dive in without gaining information first. I like to know what situations I'm walking into. Sometimes you just got to dive in, B. Sometimes you hear
first.
Yeah, sometimes you hear something so aggressive and egregious that you have to address that problem. I've been told by numerous sources, I got two sources on this, B, that Toby Altizer is now a hater. I don't know exactly how it happened. One source told me they used to be in unison, and now they've never been further apart. That source may or may not be named Landfill. I don't know what's going on in the aquarium. Tobo, explain yourself.
Well, I'm not hating anything about Landfill. We just disagreed on Kraft Mac and Cheese is all. And that's what the big kerfuffle was about. We were talking about soup. We were talking about Kraft Mac and Cheese. And I said I wasn't the biggest fan of Kraft Mac and Cheese, and Landfill didn't like that.
Okay. I got to be honest with you, fellas. As you were trying to give me the updates through the glass, I thought this was at least football related. I thought it was like Toby thinks Jaden's out for 3 months or something. And I also like Kraft Mac and Cheese, but I don't have a particularly strong opinion. Brian, would you like to enter into this debate?
I like the homemade one, actually, you know.
Well, it's now if you're hierarchy, sure, but I still can enjoy the Kraft cheese.
I mean, I'd rather not, but I will.
Although apparently it's like truly fake cheese.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be eating fake cheese. Toby, what'd you think yesterday? Were you there? Did you go?
No, I did not go.
Why not?
Oh, man. I kind of enjoyed just sitting back at home on the couch. I've been to the last two.
Toby might be lamer than me. He's a young
Come
man.
Come on. I went to two games. Wait. Back to back.
I've been to every game.
I was talking about the ball.
Back it up again. You say you're lame.
I like my couch, but I'm also 43 with little kids to wake me up early.
And how do you, Toby?
22.
Man, get out the damn house and go somewhere.
Listen. I went to the last two.
You're never going to meet a wife on your couch, Tobo.
Well, you know.
Whoa, maybe he is. maybe I don't know what happens on his couch.
Let me just say, it was
nice. Go to Jeff's house. You might meet some women on Jeff's couch.
I don't doubt that. Tobo, don't go to Jeff.
It was nice, though, to watch them play so well. And
such a nice young guy. Keep him that way.
It's just crazy to see this team when they're the better team walking into a game. And they go in and handle business, and not just in like, all right, we barely found a way. Like, how many times have we seen a script like yesterday, and they lose the football game? And on top of that, you lose your starting quarterback after one drive, and they had an out. Like, you could say, well, Mariota stepped in. They didn't have Jaden out there, and still 40-7. So yeah. You got to feel real good about them just handling their business when
there you go.
They're better than the other team.
Dude, you know what's great?
Tom, you're keeping up on things. I'm with that, though.
When you just beat some team's ass, and that's what happened yesterday. My buddy Dessler was a corner at Ole Miss in the 90s and really knows football, right?
What's his name?
John Dessler.
Okay. That's his last name. Okay.
Yeah. He sent a text last night in this group thread I'm in. Like, who knows what happens with Jaden? Probably doesn't look too bad. But damn, it must feel nice to have a backup quarterback that's 6'4", 230, and a former Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you think about Mariota, who went 18-23 for 205 and two touchdowns last night, ran the ball another 11 times for 34 yards. Most backup quarterbacks in the league, it's like a contest of who?
Yeah.
Everybody knows Mariota.
They know him. And he showed well when he got in there. So, one thing about it, everybody gets opportunities. Who's ready for the opportunity when they get it?
And Washington has, by and large, and I'm not trying to take shots, but like most of the dudes that have been here in the post-Alex Smith injury are probably best suited for backup duty.
Yeah.
Heinicke, I think, has proven to be a good backup. I think
I mean, Case Keenum and Colt McCoy are literally in a backup quarterback commercial right now.
Right. And those dudes were leaned on to be the starters. Listen to some of the dudes around the league. You know who is, I don't know if he's truly the backup. No, because they traded for the other dude from, they traded for Malik Willis because Green Bay went into the season with Sean Clifford as their backup.
Who?
He was at Penn State and bad. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Hey, man. A lot of bad quarterbacks back up.
I don't know that, you know, Hendon Hooker can play if Jared Goff goes down, but at least in one game, for one game, Mariota looked quite good. It was a straight turn back the clock situation. And you've got, Jeff, just real quick, grab Wendy, ask her what she thought of Marcus Mariota's performance, please. Come on, Wendy.
Wendy, come back.
Wendy,
say,
I'm out of here.
She's trying to duck off.
She's like, hell with that. Y'all not embarrassing me again.
She got a guest here today.
Yeah, though, she got a guest.
So. Speaking of a guest, we got one. Jake DeLome went to a Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers and is a raging Cajun.
Raging Cajun in the house, baby.
Next.